And we've got a short show today, an hour and 45 minutes, because we've got Monday Night Football, and we could probably be on the air for four or five straight days without any commercial breaks, and it may not be enough time with everything going on. Doug, how are you?
Hey, I'm just glad Ron Rivera isn't producing the show, because we'd have to sit out the first part. I have no tie on, my friend.
Well, that's okay. You know what? It's not a rule at Sports 1140 KHDK to wear a tie. If there was a rule and you were in violation, then there would be consequences, because if there are no consequences, then why have rules?
And repercussions. How are
Correct.
You, Grant?
Correct. If you have rules and you don't follow the rules, then why have the rules?
That is how it goes. You must follow the rules,
yes.
Grant.
All right, so I woke up this morning, like many of us, and saw the news of the alleged incident at the nightclub with Matt Barnes and DeMarcus Cousins. And so, like yourself, Doug, I've been trying to follow this as closely as I can. Matt Barnes came out before the team departed the New York hotel and made a comment to TMZ stating that he did not choke anyone and that his actions were in self-defense. And then from the team airplane around 2 p.m., he put on his Instagram account, quote, "There's always two sides to a story, the side the media constantly tries to paint of me and what actually happened. Don't believe everything you read." Here's what I have to say to that. I wasn't there. I don't know what happened. There are two sides to every story. But Matt Barnes has come out and said that he didn't choke anyone and that he was acting in self-defense. And then he comes out and says, you know, what I just read. And if that's true, then that's fine. I give the guy a pass because, hey, you know what? If it was self-defense, then I can't really argue about that. But if it comes out that Matt Barnes was the man that started this, okay, if it comes out that Matt Barnes is the guilty party here, then there should be dire consequences as far as his future with the Sacramento Kings goes. He's 36 years old. He's had a lot of issues in the past. I wasn't there, Doug. You weren't there. I'll take him on his statement until it's proved otherwise. I will give him the benefit of the doubt because he has come out and said, I did not choke anybody. I acted in self-defense. And then he said, you know, don't believe everything you read. You know, blah, blah, blah. Okay, I'll go along with that for right now. But if it is proven that that is not what happened, if it is proven that Matt Barnes was the instigator here, if it is proven that Matt Barnes is the one that created this melee, then there should be dire consequences, in my opinion, for continuing forward with the Sacramento Kings.
I will say that you definitely have to give him the benefit of the doubt. We weren't there. We don't know, Grant. And I think that Vlade, Vivek, everybody in charge down there will make that decision once it comes out. It's just, you know, you don't want the verbs punched and choked labeled with you. And you got to know, Grant, that nothing good happens at a nightclub after 12 o'clock.
No, you know what? And that's true. But I also am not naive, and neither are you. You played. Young men go out and hang out. That's, they go to strip bars. They go to nightclubs. That's what they do. Let's just call it the way it is. And right. You know what? 99.99% of the time, nothing happens. And that's part of being a young adult. And if you're responsible and you're ready to play the next day, nobody cares. Okay? Nobody cares. But when you go out and a melee occurs and you're smeared all over, you know, the news and there's video of what occurred outside, we don't have yet the video inside. That's not good. There is no other way to paint that. That is not good, and there's no way of getting around that, Doug. There's no way of getting around that.
Yes, and you have to tie it to the fact at the same time is where the Kings are and what they are trying to do, because that's ultimately what this is about. You're right. We've been young. We've done things. We've went out. You know, I've been in
fights. I've got no problem with that.
It happens.
That is
part of being a young adult. But at the same time, you are a professional at the same time, and you have to figure out, like, when then you put Cousin that in, and some of the headlines say DeMarcus Cousins And he has to understand, you know, this have to, now you got to take this and you have to learn from it and move forward. But this is a tough one because the Kings aren't playing well right now and out and doing things like this. Just the optics, Grant.
There are two things that have occurred on this road trip that are alarming to me and quite frankly have bothered me. Okay. Yes. One was the locker room scene that was put out on social media. After the Kings 76ers game was postponed, and they started off with Matt Barnes and DeMarcus Cousins in the Sacramento locker room after the game, and it then showed DeMarcus Cousins with, I guess the term would be a fifth, I don't know, but a bottle of Hennessy, okay? Then it showed on the video, you know, Matt drinking that with another beverage, whatever, okay? And the point is, Doug, listen, you're not naive, and I'm not naive. I understand what goes on, you know, with professional athletes when they're not playing. I get that, okay? I was in my 20s, too. I get that. Matt's 36. He's not in his 20s. But I get that. I was in my 30s also. I am okay with that, okay? I'm alarmed by the fact that they thought that it's okay to put something out like that on social media. That, you want to use optics? That's a bad visual. That is, in my opinion, inexplicable and flat out stupid. All right, let's just call it the way it is. Let's not make excuses. Why don't we just come out and call it the way it is? That is asinine, and it is stupid to put out for the whole world to see that you're drinking and blah, blah, blah. If you want to drink, fine. You want to go to strip clubs, fine. You want to go to clubs, I don't care. Do what you want. You're an adult. You are free to do that. But don't go out and document it for the whole world to see. That was the first thing that bothered me this week. And then what happened last night? But again, I'm going to wait until the evidence comes out here because Matt Barnes has said he was acting in self-defense and he didn't choke anybody. So I'm going to take him at his word here and wait until the investigation is completed.
Yeah, Grant, when you talk about the first instance, what also alarms me is the fact that we have a point guard who, in Ty Lawson, who's had issues with respect to this. And I know as leaders of the team, you have to make sure that you're taking all of that stuff into consideration. I agree with you. When you're out, you're young, do your thing, do whatever. All I say is when it's tip-off, bring it, and you got to bring it. If you're going to be doing whatever you're doing, that's fine because you're grown. But when it's time to bring it, bring it. And this just puts everyone under the microscope of, hey, if this is the stuff that you're doing, then you parlay that into the next night or the next instance where now there's a fight, there's different things, there's police involved. You're going to have to make sure that the first thing has to come first. And you know what that is, Grant. You got to go out and you got to get W's.
Yep.
And you
got to
play. Forget all of this extra stuff off the court because a lot of the times, success and excellence, Grant, it's boring.
Yep.
And guys don't like that part of it. But damn, that is exactly what it is. The repetition, the consistency of going to the gym and not doing that. It's okay to do it, but you have to make sure that you are absolutely delivering out there on the court.
And I don't see this team getting better. I would love to sit here and say, gee, I see, you know, the team really improving, but I'm sorry, I don't. You know, the Washington game was a bad loss. Last night's game, the Knicks absolutely did everything in their power to hand you that game in the second half. You ended up, once again, Doug, what do you and I talk about every time we come on the air? They had to come from a big deficit. They were 21 points down to the New York Knicks. And to their credit, they fought back, all right? But yet they didn't have enough to win the game. And, you know, that's – I'm looking at their record right now, Doug. They have mm-hmm. 7 wins. Okay,
right.
They've lost to Miami this year. They've lost to, you know, Washington. They just lost to New York. Now, New York's not terrible, okay? I mean, but Doug, you watched the game last night. You were working the game on CSN with Coase before. You watched every play. That was a very winnable game last night. And once again, this team – it does not seem in the final couple of minutes they don't know how to win. They just don't. They shoot themselves in the foot. And listen, I know DeMarcus Cousins had 36 points last night, and that's fine and dandy. But you know what? He's got to play better in the final couple of minutes of these games. He's got to be the guy at the end of the games. You know, he left Al Horford wide open for the biggest three in Boston. All right? Absolutely had a mental block and left the guy wide open. Last night, he allows Kyle O'Quinn to get the two biggest rebounds of the game, and then he turns the ball over at the other end. You cannot have your all-star, you cannot have your best player not playing that way down the stretch. He has not shown to me that he is a closer. He's a phenomenal talent that gets great numbers, but you know what? When the games are on the line, is DeMarcus Cousins going to win the games for you? And you know what? I haven't seen that. I'm not seeing that. I want to see that. I need to see that. I got to see DeMarcus become that guy when there's 90 seconds left in the game and it's a one-possession game or it's a tied game. I want to see him be a closer. He has not proven to me that he's a closer.
Yeah, Grant, I can't say both of those about those two plays about DeMarcus because, to your point, I watched both of them, the one with Al Horford, and there's a sense of urgency that has to happen. And DeMarcus was helping on a back cut, probably shouldn't have went as far. You got to understand time
and possession. Yeah, he got sucked in on that one.
Yeah, he got sucked in. You can't do that. And what's more alarming to me, Grant, is understanding. See, it all goes together. What was alarming, though, was at the beginning of the game. When it's 7:49 in the first quarter, you're in the penalty, and you end up getting outscored 19-16 the rest of the quarter. That shouldn't happen. More huddles need to come together. Guys, come in here. Let's have a conversation. Let's talk real quick. We have to learn how to do this. Otherwise, yeah, you look at I don't know if this is a saying something against the NBA right now, but the Kings are three out of last place, but they're also three out of the playoffs. And it can go real bad, real fast. That's the fine line right now of winning and losing. And it's an amount of focus that you must and you have to have. And just this off-court stuff leads you to believe that there's a problem with the focus.
Haven't we been talking about this for the last several years? This isn't just something we're talking about this week. And now we have a new coach, and we have the same issues. So how does that happen?
Well, you gotta change the culture. You gotta hold guys accountable. And if that means that, you know, okay, let's just take what I came on the air talking about, the tie thing. It's a very stupid thing, Grant. It's dumb, and it probably cost you, well, we put the smack on Carolina. But the point is, it got you off to a real bad start. But the point is, I don't know if that was the whole thing, but I'm just using it as an example. You have to, if this is going to be, like you said, if these are going to be the rules and this is what it is, if that means if you gotta sit, you gotta sit. If we got, it's going to be painful to get to where you want to go, especially when you've been this far down the rabbit hole.
Well, again, you know, it's going to sound like I'm being overly critical on DeMarcus. I'm sorry. He's the best player on the team. He's one of the best players in the league, and he doesn't play that way down the stretch. And the reality is he's got to play better in the final 2 minutes when the game's on the line. That's what I want from my stars on my teams. Are they going to be there at the biggest junctures of the game? And he's got to play better down the stretch. So we're going to take phone calls on all of this at 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Phenomenal comeback by the Raiders in Oakland yesterday. And that sets up the showdown Thursday in Kansas City. This should be a dandy. I don't like the situation for the Raiders. Short week on the road. I think Kansas City is going to win the division. I've been saying that all year. But I got to tell you, boy, how good was that for the Raiders yesterday?
Oh, man. We've talked about it. I don't know that you can keep doing that, especially when playoff football starts, Grant, because, man, you don't want to get down like that to a team. For instance, you get down like that to Kansas City, they're going to put their foot on your neck, and you're not going to come back from it. The Raiders, it's great that they're doing it, but as good as they are, they're going to have to learn a way, kind of like we're dealing with the Kings. You're going to have to put a full 60 minutes together for football like the Kings a full 48. And you're getting the wins, but don't let that cover over. Winning can do that sometime. Now you're going, like you said, short week in KC. If you really want to make a statement, the stage is set.
No, it sure is. It is big time set. So let's take phone calls today. Again, we're only going to be with you until 4:45. 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Part of the statement that the Kings put out was in the update, but I want to read it in its entirety. The Sacramento Kings came out with a statement today. We have clear standards for conduct and behavior expected of the entire Kings organization on and off the court. We are working with all parties involved to gather information in order to take any appropriate next steps. So what that means is, exactly what I said at the beginning, okay? I'm taking Matt Barnes for what he said. I'm taking him that he came out and said that he did not choke anybody and that he was acting in self-defense. I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that. I'm fine with a 36-year-old man coming out and saying, hey, you know what? This is not the way it seems, and I was acting in self-defense. I'm buying that. I'm going with that until it's proven otherwise. If it is proven otherwise, then the Kings are going to take some stern action, in my opinion, and they should, if it's proven that that did not occur the way he said it did.
Yeah, you're innocent until proven guilty.
Yes, and correct.
If that is what happened, because we've been in situations and guys are targets, and you got to understand
yes,
it.
They
make
right.
a lot of money. People say things. I mean, for God's sake.
Especially Matt in New York
chanting,
because of the Derek
yes,
Fisher deal.
And that's where I was going with it. You heard the chants and all that in New York. New York is it's a tough place. People are coming at your head. You got to deal with it in a certain way. And unfortunately, it sounds like it got out of hand. Now, how that is, I'm sure we're going to see cell phones. We're going to see probably video from inside. There's going to be a lot of things that come out because they will get to the bottom of this.
They definitely will. A matter of fact, Sam Amick on a USA Today story, although I don't think the story originated with him, but he put it out. If you go to follow Sam on Twitter, he put out that there was a source that wished to remain anonymous that said that there was video of the altercation. And according to the source, that Matt Barnes was the assailant in the video. But again, mm-hmm. I'm just putting out what Sam put out. All right, why don't we get to some phone calls, and it's Mike. Hello, Mike. How are you?
Hey, Doug. Hey, Grant.
Hey.
Tough day today. You know, I mean, I don't want to say it, but, I mean, I think me and you have spoke about this the past few years, Grant. I don't think there's any really leadership on this ball club, and I'm not trying to bash DeMarcus because he does have a lot of talent. But I believe when he's your best player and – everybody looks up to him as a leader, I think you're going to fall short.
Well, whoa. I'm just telling you, he's not looked up to as a leader. He's looked up to as a phenomenal basketball player, and every single person on the team understands that and realizes that. But he's not a leader. That's not. And you know what? DeMarcus understands that. That's not his role on this team. And you can't just be a leader because you're annoyed at a leader. You're either a leader or you're not a leader. He's not a leader, and that's okay. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's okay that he's not a leader. It's okay. It's okay. Now, let me finish here. He does try to lead, okay, in different ways, okay? He'll go out and buy the whole team, you know, without them knowing it, dinner on the road. He'll go out and buy them when they have to go to a formal event. He'll get them all tuxedos and pay for it, okay? That's how he tries to lead when he's not on the court. He's unbelievably generous when he's not on the court. He just had a phenomenal episode at the NBA. Well, let me finish. At the NBA team store, you know, for a family that he flew out. He's got a heart of gold. He really does. But on the court, when it comes to playing basketball, he's not looked upon as a leader. And you know what? That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that.
Okay, but Grant, but you're talking out both sides of your mouth. You just said a few moments ago, and I didn't even know this. There's after the Philadelphia game or whenever the Philadelphia game is postponed, he's sitting there drinking in the locker room.
He was not drinking. He was not seen drinking in the locker room. He was seen holding a bottle of Hennessy. Okay, and Matt Barnes then was seen drinking in the hallway, apparently, on the way to the bus. Ice talked about it's common knowledge. It's been out on social media. It's been all over Twitter, okay? If you haven't seen it, that's fine. But I did not see DeMarcus drinking in the locker room after the game. I saw him on the video that was posted on social media holding a bottle of Hennessy, but I did not see him drinking in the locker room.
Are we talking about the performance over the last few years of the ball club and the problems that we have by improving? We don't have enough talent because nobody really will want to come here and play. We're getting virtually Matt Barnes types of players. We have one superstar. And we went through how many coaches, Grant, and nothing's changed. We got Coach Yeager in here. I was hoping for maybe like a little bit of a culture change. And they did start off, we had a lot of optimism. But I kind of see us going right back into that same type of rotation, that same type of pattern we've been the last few years, where the team is in search of some leadership on the floor.
Well, understand this. Understand that the fact that culture takes a time to change. So I will say that. It's not just going to flip a switch automatically. As far as the leadership, if it's not going to be the players, because a lot of times, for instance, Grant, if that would have happened when we were playing, we would have taken DeMarcus and said, look, That's not a good look. You can't do that. And if nobody's doing that, then that's a problem.
Thank
because
you.
If he isn't the leader, meaning that, you know, he's the best player, because not always is your best player the leader. If he's not necessarily the leader, the guy who gets everyone together and brings them together, Grant, you're around him quite a bit. Who is that guy?
Well, Matt Barnes has been on this show every week telling us that he's been talking to DeMarcus about issues on the floor. You know, he was very forthright talking to DeMarcus about how he handles the officials and things
okay.
like that. So
well,
I'm just telling you. I mean, I don't know that answer to that question, but Matt has been very forthcoming of how he's talked to DeMarcus.
Then, and Matt knows better than anybody, then what just happened can't happen because...
Correct. It cannot happen. You're right.
It can't happen because if you're going to be that guy, you need to be able to say this, this, and that to the guys, and they have to be able to fall in
Amen.
Line and believe in what you're saying.
Yep. Bill, let's get to you next here with Grant Napier and Doug Christie. Hi, Bill.
Yeah, hi, Grant. This is Bill from Rancho Marietta. I listen to you guys all the time. Hey, I feel exactly the way you do, Grant, about Matt Barnes' statement. Take it for what was said. Leave mm-hmm. it alone until something else is proven different, because
right.
every story has a different view by different people. And until they get to the facts, we need to trust in him and believe in him. Secondly,
yes.
With Cousins and with Rudy Gay also, sometimes Collins and just about everybody I've seen throughout all the different coaches over the years, when it gets down to the last 2 minutes, of course, I don't know what's said in the play, what they're going to do. But when they come out on the court, it has to be something along the lines, we're going to get the ball to Marcus, we're going to get it to Rudy Gay, whatever the case may be. What they need to do is they need to come out and trust each other completely, move the ball, allow Marcus or Rudy Gay or whoever mm-hmm. they're going to zero in on to move and get into position. When they both come out and they think they have to be the hero and they start by taking the ball and dribbling it down the court and then trying to get into position to either drive the court or shoot a three, it's too much on them. They got a much better chance if they're all passing the ball. They trust the people that they're going to get the ball back to them, and they take a good shot. And that's, you know, if they practice that in practice, it's a great thing. If they don't, I think they should.
Grant, let me say this.
Yep, go ahead.
To the caller's point, some of the greatest words I heard was by Coach Popovich. He was talking to Kawhi Leonard. He said, Kawhi, when we run a play for you, it's not for you to score. It's for the San Antonio Spurs to score. And that's what the caller is saying. A lot of times, like the last play in Boston, a little bit too vanilla because you're just going right to one guy and you're like, shoot it. There's 9 seconds, some movement, some misdirection. And then it comes, whether that's the play call or DeMarcus trusting the ball ended up. You have to have that and know that it's going to gravitate. That ball is going to gravitate to the best guy because he's the one who wants to shoot it, and he's the one who's going to shoot it. So
that's all right.
Just, yeah.
Fair enough. We need to take a break, Doug. We'll come back. We want to get to your phone calls next here on Sports 1140 KHDK. Grant Napier and Doug Christie. So we need to get to some phone calls, and it is Eric. Hello, Eric.
What's going on, Grant?
What's up, Eric?
Man, I'm so glad you added Doug Christie. Thanks, Doug, for joining Grant, man. It was worrying me, man. It was worrying.
Appreciate you.
You there?
Yeah, we're here. What's up?
Hey, I got a question for Doug. Does your best player necessarily have to be your best closer?
No, he doesn't have to be your best closer. He doesn't even have to be your leader. I was going to actually talk to Grant about this on the air because Grant was talking about DeMarcus as a closer. I personally think we need to have some other guys step up as well because the dude is doing a lot. Now, do you talk about closing? I mean, we heard that about LeBron too. This is something that you work on and you get better and better at it. Did we see LeBron close the finals? I think he took it to the level. He didn't make that last shot, but the block and all the things that led up to that, that's similar to what DeMarcus is bringing to the table. Those numbers equate to that. You need some other guys to help you close the deal, though.
Name me a best player on any other team in the NBA that's not quote unquote their closer. Either of you, both of you. Name me one guy. Your best player, I respectfully disagree with you. I think your best player is your closer.
So hold on. What about Chris Paul? Is he the best player or is that Blake Griffin?
I'll always take a guard over a big guy any day of the week. Chris Paul closes a lot of games.
Yeah,
but in that case, you know, but you're talking about you now. You are talking about. Correct me if I'm wrong here, but you're talking about two of the arguably top 10 to 12 players in basketball. Correct?
Yes, I am, because and I was going to use this one too. Is when you look at Golden State, the problem is you sometimes it's Clay, sometimes it's Steph. It's usually Steph, but now you got another guy in Kevin Durant. But like you said, you're talking about two of the top five players in the world. So I agree with some of the premise that you're bringing, Grant. I'm just saying that he's a constant, and he's bringing numbers. We need other guys to consistently deliver. It's 21 night, 8 the next night, 6 one night, 10. Everyone has to bring their level of play up to match that, and then we will be talking about something different, and I think you could judge him maybe differently than you are. Do you want him to buy the groceries, cook the groceries, serve the table, clean the table up.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. Well, yes, I do. I do. Grant. I want him to do it all. I absolutely do because you have gone on this radio show a number of times, and I backed you up. You said he's the biggest mismatch in the NBA.
I agree.
Well, okay, so if you got a guy that's the biggest mismatch in the NBA, then I want him closing the games.
Yeah, but this is the key, Grant. When they start coming on him, because I talked about this on air the other day, and I talked about the ability to have shot maker or shot creators and guys who are going to get and make their own shot. So, for instance, DeMarcus can get his own shot, and he can create his own shot. There's not really anybody else on the team who can do that, with the exception of maybe Rudy. Now, when that Correct. Double team starts coming from a lot of different places, now you have to depend on, like San Antonio does, because they don't really have anybody. Maybe Kawhi, but now they take care of each other. So the Correct. Ball comes to DeMarcus, the double, the triple team comes from various different angles. He's trusting. He passes it out. Somebody's going to have to step up and make a shot as well.
There's no question about that. And, I mean, look at Michael Jordan. I mean, you know, how did Steve Kerr become famous? How did John Paxson become famous? I mean, you know, there's no question about that. Eric, thanks for the call. Let's get to Chris. Hello, Chris. Welcome to the program. How are you?
Hey, what's up, Grant and Doug? How are you?
Hey.
Quick question first, Grant, before I get to the Matt Barnes thing. How'd the Steelers look yesterday?
They look good, but the Giants helped them look good.
Yeah, well, so did the refs. That was pretty terribly officiated.
It was horrible, but the Giants didn't play well enough to win the game regardless, but it was awful.
So on the Matt Barnes thing, here's my opinion. When they signed him over the summer, I won't say horrified, but I was pretty disgusted and upset. I didn't really want to even follow the team strictly because of that. I think Matt has issues, personal issues. I think it was laughable. I heard him on your show when he came in and said that, you know, one of the things that he'd set as a goal was to try and set DeMarcus Cousins straight. And he was going to be a leader off the court. And I laughed, literally laughed when he said that. And this kind of proves my point. I don't think at this point that he deserves the benefit of the doubt after his past actions off the court and the way he handled them. I think he said the same thing. He came out both times he's had major issues, and he said the same thing. He denied it, and it turned out to be exactly the way it was reported. So I don't think he gets a pass. But one thing, Doug, I wanted to ask you is maybe to clarify, sir. Because what I heard you saying in the first segment was that if the team was playing better, this wouldn't be such an issue. And I don't think you meant to say that, did you?
No. I did, because what happens a lot of times, and it's unfortunate, that winning covers up a whole bunch of bullcrap. Grant's been around this for a long time, and I'm sure that he can agree with me. We've seen, and as soon as losses start to pile up, you'll see stuff start to leak out. It just it happens that way. Is it right? No, it's not right, but that's what happens.
Yeah, and let me add one thing to that. Doug played in an era where there weren't camera phones, and there wasn't Twitter, and there wasn't Facebook. And so we also have to acknowledge that in the last 10 years – everything is completely different because, as you know, Chris, there are cameras on every corner in every city. There are cameras in every store. No matter what you do in our society now is being caught by either a private phone, a camera that's installed on a side of a building. We live in a different world now. And you, as a quote-unquote role model, athlete, call them whatever you want, Every time you walk out of your house, whether you're walking down the sidewalk, whether you're getting into a car, whether you're going on vacation, on and off, whatever, you always have to be cognizant of the fact that everything you're doing is being monitored and, in some cases, I'm not saying in this case, provoked because someone wants to file a civil suit thinking you'll settle out of court. And blah. Listen, we live in a dangerous society right now when it comes to these type of issues.
Absolutely. I completely agree with you. But I have to be honest, I find it kind of appalling that we would have the opinion that, hey, I am going to assume that he assaulted someone, because that's my opinion. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But I'm going to assume he assaulted someone. And I think it's a very dangerous thing to say, hey, if the Kings were, 25-2 right now, we wouldn't care that this professional athlete is out beating people up and choking women. I think that's
okay.
Disgusting.
But you cannot go there, Chris.
Well, you cannot go there.
Excuse me, I just asked Grant.
That's what I just asked Doug, because in the first segment, it sounded like what he said was this would be covered up if the Kings were winning, and that's why
I wasn't saying that at all, Chris. I'm just talking about things that go, not this particular instance. I'm glad that you stayed on that and continued on, because we want to clarify that is not at all what I'm saying. We do not condone that crap at all. What I'm saying is there are things that go on within a team that most times, if you don't have anything to talk about, it's going to be divisive. It'll be stuff for Twitter and all this different stuff that a lot of times gets looked over because there is winning.
Right. No, I understand that. But then, I'm glad you clarified that, because that's why I asked, because that's the way it came across to me, at least. But the last thing I would ask, Grant, is if the Kings are serious about, hey, we're going to cooperate and everything like that, why didn't Matt stay behind and meet with the authorities? Why
I don't know. Chris, I'm not speaking for Matt. Matt's 36 years old. He can speak for himself. Thanks for the call. All right. I'm not getting into someone's head and trying to figure out why they did this, why they did that. I'll let Matt handle that. That's not my business. I'm not going to try to speculate on something that I have no knowledge of. Everything will come out. Right, Doug? We know that. Everything will eventually come out.
Oh, yeah, especially with everything that's going on today. It's going to come out. It's 3:41. Time to go to RC Country Hobbies on Folsom Boulevard. It's not just toys for big boys. It's for everyone and the entire family, Grant, you included.
Hey, I appreciate that, Doug. We'll come right back with more of your phone calls on Sports 1140 KHDK. Hope you are having a good Monday. Hey, you can help a local foster child this holiday season by donating to KHDK's Sleep Train Toy Drive. This Friday, starting at 6 in the morning at Malt and Mash on K Street across from the Golden One Center. The drive and the lowdown will be broadcasting live from Malt and Mash, collecting your donations. Bring a new unwrapped toy, and you'll receive a Jiffy Lube gift certificate. Plus, you will have a chance to win Sacramento Kings tickets. For more information, just go to KHDK.com. Hey, let's get to MJ. MJ, how are you? You're on with Grant Napier and Doug Christie.
Hey, Grant. Hey, Doug. How you doing?
Good.
Yeah, I called a couple weeks ago. I didn't say thank you for taking my call, so let me correct that error. I said thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to get to the two biggest things I see with the Kings that just infuriate me is a lack of urgency, and as Doug pointed out, a lack of consistency. And I basically was just steaming watching the game yesterday. I don't know.
We're losing MJ. Sorry, MJ, we lost you. And thank you for trying to call the show, but we had to let you go. We couldn't hear you. Let's get to Will. Hello, Will.
Hey, Grant, Doug. How you guys doing this afternoon?
What's up, Will?
Well, a couple things. I don't want to lay on this too heavy, but I really am the opposite. I'm not the opposite side, but the guy Chris is getting on the high horse a little bit. It's like, Doug, you got a good point. Reality is we're winning. This gets handled quietly. I mean, that's reality.
That's not what Doug was. And I don't want to speak for you, Doug. I don't think that's what you meant to say. And it would not be. You're wrong, Will. Not in 2016. Maybe in 2006, but not now. No way in the world. Not with the TMZs and the Twitter and everything else. This thing's not handled quietly. Doesn't matter whether your record is reversed from what it is right now.
I'm just saying, Will, it's a lot of the little stuff that goes on. Something like this is not going to get handled. So I was glad that the caller brought it up so I could kind of talk about it, because when Grant and I are talking, sometimes he knows me and we're talking, I got to realize that sometimes everyone doesn't understand. But little stuff goes by the wayside when you win, but it's there and it accumulates, and ultimately it can be your downfall as well.
This is true, but ultimately, nobody actually knows what happened yet. Nothing's been judged, and we're all kind of jumping to things. I know I heard Dave this morning when I turned on the radio, and he was really hitting it hard, and I was like, wait a minute. Nobody knows anything except somebody's recorded, supposed cell phone thing and an accusation. Nobody knows what actually happened yet at this point. You know, there's going to be an investigation that's going to get figured out, but anyway, I don't want to get too deep into that. I heard a rumor that Balke and York have had a falling out. Is this true?
I have not heard that, but I don't think Trent Baalke is going to be back next year based on what I'm hearing.
Oh, God, I hope so. There's one thing I'm praying for this Christmas. It's the gift of getting him out of the office there.
Thank you for the call.
Especially after yesterday.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it. You know, Doug, I think what you're trying to get out of here is when a team is losing – and not only this year, but I think that this is a cumulative effect from a fan's perspective. They've watched losing basketball now going on 10 years, and we have a beautiful Golden One Center, and you know, we have a start of a new era, and we bring in a very successful coach in Dave Yeager. And now it's the holidays, and now all of a sudden the team is 7-13, and you're like, gosh, no, please, no. And then you have an incident that is publicized like this, and it kind of snowballs on you, you know? And I think that's what I'm sensing. It's kind of like, gosh, how awful are some of these losses? The loss the other night in Boston, the loss in Washington, you know, the Knicks game, what we saw a little while ago in Miami. And then now you have an incident like this and you're like, okay, you know what? It's too much for some fans to handle. And I sympathize with the fans, and I understand with the fans, because, Doug, you know this about Sacramento as well as I do. And I'm going to paraphrase here. I'm going to try to make this a simple analogy. The Kings fans would rather see 12 Garrett Temples on the floor, okay, and win 35 to 40 games a year than win with 12 other players that are splintered, that don't care, or what have you. You know what I'm saying? This is a blue-collar town. They want guys like you, Doug. They want the Bobby Jacksons of the world. They want the Scott Pollards. They want guys that, when they're on the court, are playing as if it's the last time they're ever going to play basketball.
Yeah, the cumulative effect of all of that can affect, and it's what you're saying, Grant, is Sacramento Kings fans, and that's why I love them, because I could feel their appreciation for what you are giving to them. And it's a fine line between winning and losing, and that's where, Grant, I'm talking about the consistency. I'm talking about consistency of encouragement. I'm talking to consistency not only the guys on the floor, but the guys on the bench supporting those guys, coming into a huddle when there's a free throw. Let's just talk about it. Sometimes we don't have anything to say. I can remember coming in and Jason Williams just saying some of the craziest stuff, but it was funny.
Right,
it was levity. It would lighten the mood. And sometimes you need that, but or Vlade, or just that's what you have to do, and it has to be consistent, because the only way that you're going to get out of this thing is DeMarcus is trying to put it all on his back. That's what I was talking about earlier. He's not going to be able to do it. Michael Jordan couldn't do it, Grant. You said it. You needed Steve Kerr and Scottie Pippen and Dennis Rodman, and I can go on and on and on. It's going to take a team, and until they together and start supporting and playing with each other like a team, it's not going to happen. Now, it is 3:53, and it's time to go to RC Country Hobbies on Folsom Boulevard, Grant. It is not, I repeat this, for big boy toys. It is for everyone in the entire family.
All right,
I'm just saying.
I appreciate you just saying, let's get to Tyler. Hello, Tyler. How are you?
What's up, guys? How's it going?
What's up?
All right.
I just wanted to talk about the recent incidents that have happened off the court. And I've watched every single game this season, and I can understand on-court issues. I know we don't have the best of teams and all that, but when I see stuff like this off the court, it only makes me wonder, you know, in which direction this team is going.
May I ask what other incidents you're referring to? Because I can't recall, so maybe you can help me out.
Well, the Darren Collison one, I understand it was only like 8 games, but it's still an incident nonetheless.
Yeah, and then, fair enough. Yeah, and you know what? I asked for you, and I that had slipped my mind, so thank you, because you're right. That was an off-the-court incident, and you're well-served to bring it up.
Yeah, and also, you know, my dad has been a Kings fan his whole life. He used to go to the games back in the early 2000s, and I'm only 19, so, you know, he tells me all the stories about the old Kings, and you know, I'm just sitting there listening to these stories, wondering, well, why? It'd be nice if, you know, these Kings could be those Kings, you know? So, yeah.
Never going to happen again.
You don't believe him, huh? You know? You're thinking, Dad, you're lying to me? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. You know what? Actually, my uncle went to the 0-2 game against the Lakers, and he said he was sitting right on the court where Peja missed a wide-open three. He said he saw the ball, and he said he thought Peja was going to make it. I'm not sure which game he was talking about. Yeah. I'm pretty sure the Western Conference Finals. He said he was right there, and he said he could not believe Peja Stojakovic missed that shot.
Hey, Will, as Jerry Reynolds says, no one misses a shot on purpose. Hey, folks, listen to this show every weekday from now to December 12th between 4:30 and 5 to be part of the 13 Days of Christmas, and you can win a Noble Fir Christmas tree from Green Acres Nursery and Supply. Plus a pair of Kings tickets, courtesy of Doug Christie and Sports 1140 KHDK. You'll also be qualified to win the grand prize on December 13th. Grand prize winner will get Doug and the KHDK crew to deliver and decorate the tree on the 17th, plus food for all your family and friends. And the grand prize winner will also get upgraded Kings game tickets. So, Green Acres Nursery and Supply, a proud partner of 13 Days of Christmas. For contact information, go to KHDK.com. First hour in the books, but we're coming right back with more of your phone calls, and we're getting you ready for Monday Night Football right here on Sports 1140 KHDK.